Welcome to the Fandom Podcast, episode 57. This is the show about the TV, movies, comics, and books that you love. Every week, we give you a little bit of news and then jump into the fandoms for discussion. I am the man with the green badge, Brandon Uscio. With me today is my white wristband friend, Nick English.
Scan. Again. Wait, keep. One more. That one. Oh,
the defective white wristband. So, and joining us again is our special purple VIP guest, Jeff Dumas.
You can just go ahead right past all these commenters. Don't worry about it. Don't look them in the eye.
Oh, welcome. Welcome, guys. We had a blast at FanX this week, and so we're going to just kind of do a wrap-up and talk about some of the fun things that we were able to do. But I'm glad that both of you can be on here, seeing that we crossed paths quite a bit this weekend. So.
Literally, once or twice.
Yeah, well, that's true. There was one time where Jeff and I just really crossed paths, but that's because I was working and I had to get somewhere, and Jeff, I wanted to go play. I really did, but I had to go. It was sad. Anyway, so before we get into the FanX wrap-up, post-mortem kind of a thing, let's jump into some Boy Wonder trivia. Last week, we asked what function do Clark Kent's glasses play, and we gave you the hint that it wasn't just a disguise. And Amy Champion, friend of the show Amy Champion, wrote in saying that Clark Kent uses glasses because of his heat vision. And then she said, right? So yes, Amy, you were right. That's exactly right. So back in the comics, Martha Kent realized when Clark was developing his powers that his heat vision shot the rocket ship that he came in, but it did not melt the glass on the rocket ship. So Martha Kent, using her mad domestic skills, I guess, fashioned a pair of glasses using the glass from that rocket ship to keep his powers from going crazy. In case he ever lost control, he wouldn't be outed as having superpowers because they would just bounce right back off the glasses that he was wearing. Now, I don't know how much they keep that in play, because obviously Superman's vision can melt glass, regular glass, but he's changed glasses styles a few times. But
he's got to keep up with the times, right?
How is she able to cut alien glass when lasers literally couldn't do it?
Mad domestic skills. My mom could do anything, so I'm sure Martha Kent could too.
Yeah, I guess. But still, she was on a farm. I mean, it's not like they had...
So even better, she had all the tools that she would need to be self-sufficient.
Well, and maybe it's only that the laser, like the glass is special against laser, but it can be cut very easily by, you know, a pencil. I don't know. Maybe it's just like got magical properties that make it so the heat vision is what makes it go, but anything else.
A kryptonite glass cutter. That's what happened.
Okay.
Maybe that's how she did it. Because there was kryptonite on the spaceship. So maybe she just was like, maybe this will work, and then just cut it. Maybe we should ask Lena. Lena, you know, does stained glass and is an expert glass cutter. Maybe she could tell us
how. Oh, if only she weren't putting a child to bed right now.
Oh, man.
I actually want you to think about this for a second. Martha Kent had to have kryptonite, because think about it. Think about you as like an adolescent teen. I'm sure there were times where you had to be punished. And if you had superpowers, yeah, like you're going to the not fly away or run away from your mother. I mean, she had to have some kryptonite with her, so.
Maybe you needed kryptonite to keep you in check. I was a good child. Of course, I'm the youngest, and my other siblings kind of paved the way for me. So, you know, not that necessarily I was good, that I got away with everything. Oh. So, I wasn't a good child. I just never got in trouble.
Your parents had given up by then.
Oh, yeah. If you've met my brother, you'd know.
Okay. So, congratulations, Amy. That was the right answer. And she wrote it on Facebook, so if you guys want to continue the discussion, head over there. Nick, do you have a question for us this week?
Okay, this week I am going to do FanX trivia. So if you are not at FanX, or if you follow FanX or Salt Lake Comic Con, you can get this question. It is on Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. It was a very big deal. The question this week will be, what hashtag did George Takei get trending within 5 minutes during his panel at FanX?
It is not one that you would really think of right off the bat with George Takei. Just saying.
Was one of the greatest things. And the thing that kind of makes me sad that I chose this question is we can't talk about it.
I know.
We'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, we'll talk about it next week.
So. I was like, come on. Oh, I'm just so excited to talk about it now.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, it was great. check it out. If you look, anyway, I'll save that for the, when we're talking about George Takei. Never mind. I'm so excited about that. Anyway, yeah. So what hashtag did George Takei get trending within 5 minutes at FanX? Write in your answer over on facebook.com/fandompodcast. There's always a post with the episode. So put it there or head over to fandompodcast.com/contact. Let us know if you know the secret hashtag that George Takei used. It was hilarious.
The super secret FanX16 George Takei hashtag.
That I'm sure you cannot Google and find out. Just saying.
but go for it. Try anyway. But, you know.
Yeah. All right. So that is our Boy Wonder trivia. Let's jump over into some feedback. And this week, Amy's was our feedback that we had. But I've noticed as I've been watching things that we have gotten a lot of new listeners this past month. And we would love to know how you found us and, you know, what your favorite fandom is and what best ways we can connect, what things you want us to cover. So head over to fandompodcast.com/contact and drop us a line or message us on Facebook. We love meeting fellow fans, so please write in and let us know where you came from. So now with that said, I think it's time for the top news. And top news this week is a little short because I was working a lot at FanX this week.
We were a little busy this week and couldn't find actual news stories.
Yeah, so like this week would have been a good week for like them to announce something huge and I would never know it.
And you know, we none of us saw Batman v Superman. We were a little busy. So that was
one of the things that was frustrating to me because I was, because I had an opportunity to go see it for free, using the beabatman.com and getting my free tickets that way. But I was working at FanX, so I wasn't able to do that. So,
well, and I went to my caucus, but I didn't do it. Like, you know, so it's like, I should have done it, but there was not enough time. It would have been too hard to go.
Yeah. And
getting all prepared and stuff for FanX.
We probably had more fun at FanX than we would have, you know, 3 days of Comic-Con versus 2.5 hours of a movie. You know, I think we chose the better option.
So yeah, it was good. It was, I'm sure there were movie theaters being like, where are all the nerds? How come no one's seeing Batman in Utah? I'd actually be really interested to see what the movie going percentage of Batman v Superman was compared to other states because of FanX. I think it would be much lower.
Well, it did really well. Like it did really well in the box office. So.
Well, of course it was. It's their main thing was Batman and Superman are going to fight. Give us your money. That should have been the better title. That's the title of the sequel. Batman v Superman 2, the search for more money.
No, that's Spaceballs.
I know. That's I'm Spaceballs. So happy you got that.
Of course I caught it. If you're concerned, because I know a lot of geek podcasts out this week have Batman v Superman spoilers and they're talking about it. We have none of that here. We're not going to spoil you at all because we can't. Actually, knowing some of the things that I know, I could, but we won't.
Spoilers,
man! Can you believe that Zod didn't actually die, and he learned how to imitate Bruce Wayne so much that he then became Batman? And yeah,
turns out Superman's a woman this whole time. Who knew? Like, who he's knew? So handsome, you never knew.
And it's played by Hermione Granger.
Dun dun dun.
Emma Watson is now Superman.
I'm okay with that.
Oh. Okay, so top news. This is literally the only news story that I saw that jumped right out at me. Simon Pegg has been cast as Ogden Morrow in Ready Player One, in the movie Ready Player One. You guys have read the book, right?
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, listen to it, but okay. I know what happened.
Same thing. Listening to it's actually really good because you got Will Wheaton reading it. So
yeah,
that's a good way to do it. I've done both, and it's fun to get both perspectives in there.
I can't read while driving. Well, I shouldn't read while driving.
So head over to fandompodcast.com/audible and sign up for an Audible book. You know, it's a good one. It really is. And if you already have signed up for Audible, just head over to fandompodcast.com/Amazon and get your Audible book through that link. And we get a cut of it if you want to help support us. Moving it away from a plug, I'm really excited about Simon Pegg being cast as Ogden Morrow. I never would have cast him there.
It's been a while. Which one's Ogden Morrow?
He is the great and powerful Og. He is James Halliday's friend.
He's the one that makes the Oasis.
Yeah, James Halliday is the one who owns the Oasis, but Ogden Morrow was a friend and helped him learn how to write a lot of software, and he was the only other one who had like god powers in the Oasis.
Okay, so Ogden Morrow is the one who's alive. Well, alive.
Yeah. Do you remember that? Yes, exactly. Do you remember the birthday party scene that they had in the weird dance pyramid thing?
Vaguely.
With anti-gravity?
Yeah, it was his party.
Yeah, okay. it was his party. I'm excited for that scene with Simon Pegg. Just saying.
You know, I really want to see this now. Like, yeah. It's Ready Player One, this seems like such a hard movie to make. Just, you have to get so many rights. You have to get so much permission.
You know, I remember looking into it, and there are a lot of the rights to these things Warner Brothers has been snatching up. Like, the things that you would think that they wouldn't have rights to over the past few years, Warner Brothers has been snatching them up. And I don't think it was for this movie, but I think it works out well. Interestingly enough, Steven Spielberg has said that he doesn't want to revisit his previous properties, which some of them play kind of a big deal in the show. Or in the book. So we'll see what happens in the show. Yeah. So no, it will
is
be that, good.
Is this the only casting so far?
No, they have cast a bunch of people. Let me pull it up real quick. Ready Player One cast. Who's it? So Olivia Cooke has been cast to play Artemis. Olivia Cooke is in Ouija and Bates Motel, and let's see what else might people know. Pretty much that. Bates Motel. She's the girl in Bates Motel. So Simon Pegg has been cast as Ogden Morrow. Ty Sheridan has been cast as Wade Wilson and Parzival, which will be interesting
Wade
to see.
Wade Wilson? Oh, my bad.
Wade Watts. You know, sorry.
No,
so
that's awesome.
Ty Sheridan has been cast as Wade Owen Watts. So his initials are WOW, just saying.
I never noticed that. That's amazing.
And his dad.
Don't they talk about it in the book, though?
They say that his dad loved comic books, and so he named him with like a superhero sounding name with the alliteration and all that stuff. So it'll be interesting. If you want to know some of his other work, he has been. So Ty Sheridan, he's starring as young Cyclops in X-Men Apocalypse. Let's see what else. He was in Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse, which I heard was kind of funny.
I just think that that's probably what we're going to know him from is X-Men Apocalypse. So
yeah, probably. I'm looking at the rest of his stuff. And there are some indie things. It'll be interesting.
He's in Mud with Matthew McConaughey. Oh, and that's a Mud? Really good movie.
Okay, yeah. And then Ben Mendelsohn has been cast as the bad guy, Nolan Sorrento. So, and he's in Rogue One. Is he in Rogue One?
Yeah, he's in Rogue One,
A Star Wars Story. The Dark Knight Rises. He was Daggett. I'm not sure.
Oh, yep. I see it. I know who he is. Daggett was one of the henchmen, the guy on the board of directors for Wayne Enterprises.
Yes.
Who was working with Bane. Spoiler.
Oh, jeez. Jeez.
It came out in 2012. Okay. If you haven't seen it, it's your own fault.
I was going to watch that next week. Oh, wait. I've already watched it a bunch of times.
not for the first time, but I was going to watch it next week.
Exactly. So he will be great. If you look at him and look at his like IMDb, he is exactly what I pictured as Nolan Sorrento. Okay. So that is our top news. That is literally the only news that I saw all week because we were a little busy doing something amazing, something epic called FanX. So
not sure what to add to that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we're at FanX. Thanks for listening. Bye.
All right. We'll see y'all later. So FanX was a lot of fun. And so I thought we would break it down into some different things. I volunteered for the first time this year. And, you know, I was a volunteer manager and had a lot of fun. You guys went as guests to the show. Let's talk about some of the things we did. Let's start out with some panels. Nick, how about you lead us in this discussion since you went to a lot more panels than I did?
I went to a few. Actually, it was kind of funny because my wife and I, after we were done with this con, we kind of turned to each other and said, this one felt a whole lot different than the other ones. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that we went to a lot more panels. And then also we got more photo ops, which we've really never done a lot of either. So we spent a lot of time in the grand ballroom, really, because we tried to go to other like panels, like smaller ones and stuff, but we always just ended up like being in the grand ballroom for a long time. And then we'd be like, okay, we want to go walk around for a while. And then we had like another mission to go on. So like, we didn't have a lot of downtime, where it was just like, do you want to do anything, you know, something? There was only a very few times that actually happened during this con. So it was kind of weird. And that's usually when we went and go eat something. So
was that a good thing or a bad thing?
No, that was a good thing. Like it was good. It was just odd because normally we're like killing time and just kind of, you know, people watching, walking around, looking at stuff. But this time we had a lot of missions. Like we had a lot of things that we were like, yeah, we need to get this done. So it just kind of felt different, and it was good. It was just different. the very first panel we went to was actually a panel that started right when FanEx started on Thursday. And we got there just a little bit late because, you know, we didn't have to wake up early and we just rode the train and got there as quick as we could. And it was Peter Davison. Peter Davison was the fifth doctor. He was really cool. He was just really nice. His was not in the grand ballroom. It was just in, I think, a 250 A or B, one of those upstairs.
Yeah, it's the big room upstairs, kind of by the escalators.
Yeah, and he was just a really nice guy. He talked about David Tennant, you know, because of course he's got to talk about David Tennant. But he was just super nice and he had some really kind of fun stories and it was a good way to start off the con. And then I also got to meet one of our listeners. He showed up at the end and we had a little chat. So I got to meet Jared Elder. He's a super nice guy. It was fun to chat with him. And I wanted to chat with him again, but I never saw him again.
It's because I had him running around and being kind of busy. So I recruited Jared to be on my volunteer team and utilized his skill set. So that's why you never saw him again.
Yeah, but it was super cool to talk to him. That was super fun. If you want, I can just keep going.
Yeah, just go ahead and keep going. I didn't get to go to a lot of the panels, and that's why I'm glad that you did.
Okay, so the next one, Sylvester McCoy, was kind of the surprise of the con for me. Okay, now if you don't know who Sylvester McCoy is, he played Radagast the Brown, and he was also the Seventh Doctor.
You know, the good wizards are always the Doctor.
And then, so we got to get Ian McKellen, right? Is that what you're saying? To yeah, be the next like Doctor.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if he would do it. Anyway. So both me and my wife were sitting there and, you know, they come out and they make an announcement and they say, just so you guys know, we're not going to line up for questions. So you're just going to have to shout them out. And yeah, we were like, oh my gosh, this is going to suck. Like, it's going to be so hard to hear the questions. And then, you know, and I mean, we turned to each other and we're like, okay, this is, you know, I don't know how this is going to go. And we didn't know if they were having like microphone trouble or something. But then, you know, they come out and they say, okay, announcing Sylvester McCoy. And we look up on stage and there's no one there. We're like, And then they point down to the aisleway and he just starts roaming the aisles. Like, he's this short, tiny man. He's shorter than me. He's just this little dude. And he just starts chatting, like just talking. He's like, hello, everybody, and blah, blah, blah. And he just starts going around. And then people are like raising their hand and he would literally walk through the aisles over on top of people, like, and then like have his, you know, rear end in their face, you know, basically. And then he would take the question and he would come back. And I think that Sylvester McCoy might be the best storyteller I have ever heard. Like, he just has a knack and a way of telling stories that it was just interesting, funny, and hilarious and awesome. And like, I literally got to rub shoulders with him because we were right on the edge, right in the middle, like that box that's around where they have all the camera equipment. We were on, you know, the inside edge of that. And so he was walking up and down that aisle all the time. And I got some pictures super close and like,
look at you rubbing shoulders with celebrities.
Well, and even to make it cooler, it was the Doctor. So yeah, like, and to be honest, I've only watched a select few of his classic Who episodes. But it's crazy to me how I have become such a bigger fan of the classic Who because I never watched it. I didn't get into Doctor Who until New Who. And it was because of my nephew and because of Jeff.
You're welcome.
That they introduced me to Doctor Who. But like every single Doctor that I've seen at Comic-Con, and I've seen five now, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, five.
Two classics and four classics. Both,
yeah,
Matt Smith.
Yeah, and both of them. Yeah. And I've loved every single one of them. And it's made me like want to go back and watch more of their classic stuff, and meeting them has made it cooler for me, you know, and just stuff like that. And so yeah, that was like the best like surprise panel for me is Sylvester McCoy. He was awesome. Now, during the Doctor Who experience, the panel that you had to pay for, he actually repeated some of the stories he had already told. And I was like, oh, he's an old man. But the funny thing is the stories were just as good and just as funny the second time because he was such a good storyteller. It was just awesome. So
the questions were also exactly the same. Yeah. You know, but there's only so many questions you can come up for Doctor Who.
As long as he's been doing Doctor Who conventions, I'm sure over all the years he's figured out the best stories to tell for each of those limited questions, like you were saying, Jeff. And so he probably was just ready with it right off the top. And, oh, I've told this story a million times, but this audience has only never heard it. Oh, wait, I said it earlier today. But anyway, yeah, no, I think I'm really bummed that I missed that one.
Yeah, it was really funny. And even when we were like hanging out over by the photo op area, he was driving by in his little golf cart, you know, and I just kind of waved to him. And he is just such a character. He started like putting his eyebrows up and down really, really quickly and like making funny faces at me just to kind of like, hey, I'm here, you know, just like as he was going to his photo op. And I was just like, dude, this guy is awesome. He is hilarious. And he had some really cool stories about how like he kind of broke into the business because he was working at like a club, and it was near where all the actors would like be and hang out. And so he just kind of faked like he was an actor all the time, but he never like had any formal training or anything. He even said that. He's like, I never went to school, theater school or anything. I just always told everybody that I was a really good actor and I was funny and stuff. And so this one guy came in and said, I'm looking for actors. And like the bouncer said, oh, he's an actor. And then the guy came up to me and said, hey, do you want to be in my play? And that's how he got started in the business.
Like, that's awesome.
You know, and I was just like, that wouldn't fly now, but okay. You know, like, that's awesome. So let's just move on to the Doctor Who experience because we're talking about it. This was the only panel that had Matt Smith. And then it was River Song, who's played by Alex Kingston.
Alex Kingston.
Yeah. And then both of the doctors were there, Peter Davison and Sylvester McCoy. And it was good. Like, it was fun. It was awesome just because it was all Doctor Who all the time. Really, the person that stole this show was Alex Kingston. She just is a joy. She's like a treasure of a woman. She's just entertaining, funny, and it actually got a little inappropriate, which was hilarious. It was just enough inappropriate that it wasn't like, okay, come on, guys. But it was like they were cracking each other up because it was getting inappropriate. And then they were like, come on, come on. There's children here, you know? But yeah, and that one was fun. It was a lot. It was very similar to the other one that they had. You know, they had the TARDIS there, and then, you know, they have the videos beforehand.
Uh-huh.
And this is the one thing that just bothers me. Okay. And I have to say it. I love Brian Brandenburg. I love Dan Farr, but they just know how to kill momentum. Yes. If you know what I'm talking about.
Those videos are like, so awesome. And then they come
these
out.
These videos build up. And there's just like all this energy and everyone's so excited. And then Brian Brandenburg comes out and says, hey guys, are you guys like that video? Oh,
yeah.
We're going to announce this guy who is a really great friend of mine, and I'm really excited to have him here. Are you guys excited? And you're like, oh, stop talking and just bring him out. You know, like, I get it.
So, yes, you were excited.
His time. It's his show. Like, I get it. But it's like, oh, my gosh, please, you know, just
he needs to rehearse.
Yeah. Or something. I don't know. Like, I don't know what would make it better if it would just be like if he said it before and then the video went on and then he just let them come out just not to kill the momentum. I don't know. You know him better than I do. And so, I can't.
You know, as I've gotten to know him better, you pick up on things. And, you know, I think I don't even notice it anymore because I know when he is like super excited. And so, cause you're right. He doesn't come out and he doesn't like fangirl over stuff. He doesn't like come out and like yell and are you ready? You know, he doesn't do that. But like when you can tell he's excited, then all of a sudden it makes a difference to you. And the vast majority of the people out there can't tell. He was telling some story actually, even that he was trying to get into some panel and the volunteer wouldn't let him in.
Oh, geez.
Because he wasn't wearing his a badge or a wristband or anything like that.
That's really
funny. So, no, you have to wait with the general admission. He's like, no, I don't. And so that was one morning where he was like, you guys all need to wear your badges so that people know who you are. That's a new rule because it's awesome that this thing has grown big enough that people don't know who I am.
That's really funny.
That's cool.
Yeah. And you know, I think he's an awesome dude. Like, I get it. Like, and he's done great things, but I'm just like, oh, come on. Don't kill the momentum.
If I was responsible for bringing three doctors and River Song to Salt Lake Comic Con, I'd want to say some words too, you know, just be like, hey, it's me, I did it, you know, you're welcome.
Well, and then Dan Farr comes out and he's like, I've never watched Doctor Who. And everyone was like, then stop talking, like, just let us fan out, you know, or whatever. But then he was like, after meeting these people, I get it. And I'm going to have to watch some now, you know, or something like that. And I was just like, oh, don't kill the momentum. Just bring them out, you know, like, anyway, that's my one rant. Okay. So you can play the rant music or whatever.
Right, now get off your soapbox and talk about the panels.
Yeah. But it was good. Yeah, it was awesome. It was a good panel. And I liked that they had it be longer because there's four people. And so they did an hour and a half. I think that was really good foresight and like really cool of them to do, especially because we were paying for it and etc.
So So was the room completely filled on that one?
No, it was not.
No.
Because that was later at night, and a lot of people can't make it through the entire day at FanX.
I think it might have just been, oh, it's a paid event, so people assume, oh, it's going to cost me an arm and a leg. I might as well just go back to Artist Alley. But, you know, check. It was $10 was our ticket, you know?
Yeah, and they actually did check on that one.
Yeah, they didn't on the Buzz Aldrin one, which makes me upset.
So, like, on Buzz Aldrin, you could tell... Okay, so we'll talk about that now. Buzz Aldrin, they did a... we all lined up, and that one was really early. Like, that one was... after Peter Davison, sorry. And it was on Thursday. It was on Thursday because that's the only day he was there.
It was between the two doctors.
Oh, okay.
It was at 3 o'clock.
Okay, so that's what it was. We were in Buzz Aldrin and then we like moved up and I was surprised everyone was leaving and then we got super close at Sylvester McCoy. So that makes sense. So we were in line and we got tier 3 seats. You know, it was, you know, last people in. And,
$5.
You know, we get there and they say, okay, go line up against the wall. And we were just in line, you know, and we're looking at the clock and it was like going to start in like 10 minutes. And before, like at the Doctor Who experience last time, they had the volunteers walking up and down the line, scanning the QR code, like in advance before they even let us go through so that people aren't waiting to do it. And so I was kind of like, well, are they going to check our tickets or what's going on? Or is this just what tier three means? Is that you're probably going to get in late? I don't know. You know, like, I don't know what's going on. And then all of a sudden they were like, okay, everybody go in. And then like the line just collapsed. And I mean, everyone just started like heading towards the door. And I was like, so I didn't have to pay for this panel, you know, like I could have just walked in because nobody checked my code. I honestly think it was just that they were like, if we scan all these codes, then they're not going to be able to go in and then they'll be more mad.
That's a good point.
I also know that for one of the things that Brian Brandenburg had posted on social media was that the reason they do the paid panels, it's for the panels that they think are going to just like be absolutely full and have lines out the door. And so by saying that here's $5, show us that you're serious about wanting to see this. And then you show up. I really think they just wanted to make sure that everybody who really wanted to go see it could go see it. And the one thing that I wish that they would have done is have like a general admission line after that to be like, okay, we will fill this room, but we're going to let the people who want a guaranteed seat. Well, problem is you can't really guarantee a seat because of fire code stuff. But anyway, I would have loved to have seen that. But I think that it was not, they probably didn't scan, not because it was too unorganized or anything like that, but it probably because they're like, you know what, if you want to see it, we're going to let you see it. But we don't want people camping out overnight to get tickets to this or to get a spot in this like they do at other big conventions.
And that one wasn't filled up either.
No, it wasn't. But I think that if they had allowed every general admission person to go and see it, that everybody would have gone to see it. And because there were some other ones later that were like almost completely filled that I think would have, this one would have done it if it was a free admission. It was so cool to listen to him talk, though. He's an old guy.
Absolutely.
He's an old guy now, but he has some great stories. I snuck away from my office. The entire IT team for FanX was in there for a little bit. I told the two members on my team that they could go see it because they both really wanted to see it. But then I'm like, but I want to see it too. And so I snuck away from the desk for a little bit and I listened to a couple of the stories. And I'm like, okay, now I got to go get back. I used it to check on some Wi-Fi strength and test some signal meters and stuff like that. I was like, okay, if anyone bugs me about like, well, how come you guys weren't working during Buzz Aldrin? I'm like, well, I was. I just wanted to test the strength of the Wi-Fi in the grand ballroom when there was a big crowd. And I figured Buzz Aldrin would have a big crowd. So
And you know, it's Buzz Aldrin. I'm not going to miss this.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was really cool. Like, so my personal experience with this was, you know, my older brother, we're old now. We're old men. He's less old than I am though, because he doesn't have kids. Buzz Aldrin has always been a hero of his. He is a space guy and loves space exploration and all that stuff. And so when he found out that Buzz Aldrin was coming, he's like, this is awesome. Like, I am not, he's even less than me for being hero worshiping of celebrities, but he's like, no, Buzz Aldrin is the real deal. I mean, the man freaking walked on the moon. And so he was like, I've got to see this, but I don't know. I've got a big upgrade, a big project at work coming up that day. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to, when it's going to happen. So I don't know if I'll be able to sneak away. So I don't really want to spend, you know, $40 on a ticket if I can't get away. And so it was really cool. I was volunteering. And so I was able to get him a ticket into it. And I got him into the Buzz Aldrin panel. And
that was nice of you.
Yeah. And so he got to see it. And it's one of those things where, you know, the younger brother, even though we're adults, it's still always cool for a younger brother to feel like you're doing something for your older brother. So it was really cool. I loved him. Buzz Aldrin was awesome.
I think my favorite part was when he said, location location, location, location.
Which yeah, I talking about that. The photo. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was my favorite part. Anyway.
He took the first selfie.
Yeah, the first selfie in space.
Yes.
But yeah, that was a great, that one was good. Okay, so let's talk about some that weren't so good.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, so, there's only the one that wasn't.
Yeah, there really was great. Only one. But so,
do we really want to call it out by name? I don't know.
It's fine.
Because I wasn't there, so I don't know whose it was. So tell me why. So
unfortunately, Summer Glau was not that entertaining.
Yeah.
And if you see her acting and you see her, that's kind of how she is. I mean, as she, you know, a lot of actors portray who they are and what, and a lot of the things that they do. And so I was a little worried about this one because she could either be really boring or she could be just cute and charming. And she was cute and charming, but it wasn't very good, like, you know, answers. Like,
so she wasn't a good, she wasn't a great storyteller.
It was kind of interesting. It was kind of interesting. And like, she would talk a lot about, like, people would be like, well, how do you prepare for a role? And she'd be like, just comes naturally. She didn't really even say it that way. She just said, I didn't really prepare because I was so naive at the time. And so all I did was, it was just really came from nowhere, which was interesting. Like it was interesting that her portrayal of River was literally like so good because she was in out of her element too. And so like she could portray that like uncomfortableness when she was, you know, in Firefly and stuff. And so like, I found that interesting. And then she talked more about, you know, Sarah Connor Chronicles and some of her other stuff. And she said, you know, now I prepare a whole lot different, but you know, it was really cool. And Firefly was awesome because, you know, I would have never made it here. And she was a ballet dancer before. And then all of a sudden she kind of lost faith in that and didn't want to do that anymore. And so she just kind of said, well, I'll try acting, you know? And so it was just kind of like, not interesting enough. And it was kind of like, well, you know, and she, yeah, anyway, it was a little disappointing, but it was interesting. You know,
it was compared to the rest of the panels we went to that day. It definitely dropped, you know, cause I believe Sylvester McCoy was that same day and it was just, oh, it was so good. And then, or was it? Was it the same day? I don't remember, but still, it was compared to the rest of the panels in general, it was, wasn't as on par.
And it might've been that she was sandwiched between like two awesome panels, like, who knows, you know, like, yeah. I don't know. I can't remember the orders they went in.
I think she was definitely next to Alan Tudyk one way or another.
Oh, and Alan Tudyk is a hard one to compare to.
He is the king of panels. He knows what he's doing.
So I did not get to go to Alan Tudyk this time. Did he bring his bag of crap?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yep, and he gave away a doily and a Zootopia ticket and
a used Zootopia ticket.
Something in it, and he gave away the front page of the pilot that he is now on, and the person said, this is going to be a big hit. I'm really excited to do it, but he's like, I can't give you the script, so I'll just tear off the front cover. It says Alan Tudyk pilot on the front, and then signed it and like gave it to somebody. Like, I don't know. He's just so funny. And
he contact solution.
Yeah.
All signed every bit of it.
So, oh, that's hilarious.
If you want Alan Tudyk, if you want an autograph from Alan Tudyk, you don't care what it's on, you got to go to his panel and get in line quick.
Yeah, it's like literally go up. Like, his line was the longest that I've ever seen because people were just hoping that they would be able to get assigned something.
Well, this is his third time here. And so people know now that he has that. The first time that he was here, he told the backstage people, hey, I want to do this a little bit differently. I want to bring people up on stage with me and I want to give them stuff. So I don't want them to line up. I don't want a microphone for them to line up with. I want them to come up to the stage. So what they did was they went and told everyone who was lined up at the microphone, Alan Tudyk doesn't want you to line up at the microphone. Go sit down.
Oh,
and so he came up and he said, where is everyone? Doesn't anyone have questions? Come line up and I'll bring you up on here. And so then people like made a mad dash for it. And
of course,
the people who were all lined up, like Nate Caldwell, he was all lined up like second in line or something like that. And he didn't make it up in time and didn't get his question answered and all that fun stuff. And so second time he came back with Con Man last year, he came up and he was all excited about that. But so this third time, I don't think people would have sat down even if they were told to.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah, but he's always good. Like, you can't miss his panel. If he's there, go to the panel. Like, I think his was probably the most full that I saw. Yeah.
Well, last year, I don't know if he did it this year, but last year he actually went around, and when I say last year, I mean last September. This is how much he's been to our convention. Most celebrities don't come back to a convention time after time, and he comes twice a year, basically. But yeah, he last time he went out walking around on the show floor and just talking to people, and if people stopped him and noticed him, he would give him an autograph. So, yeah.
See, I hear that, and how does that... how did that make the people feel who waited in his booth line and paid for one? That I'd be a little upset if he was just walking around and he signed it anyway.
See, here's the thing, though. The odds of that, it's if he would sign a one-off. He didn't form a line in the middle of the vendor floor. He would sign a one-off thing. And so you're literally relying on luck of the draw, basically, or figuratively, I guess, but relying on luck of the draw to get it. It's like the odds of getting a Patrick Stewart photo op for free. Just saying.
Well, apparently the odds of that is pretty good.
Anyway.
Well, 2 out of 3 members of this podcast have had that happen.
I've got a good track record with photo ops. I just have to...
Yeah, seriously. What's with you with getting all your photo ops for free? I'm getting a little sick of this.
Hey, I've paid $5 for one.
Okay, we'll talk about the photo ops in a little bit.
Let's finish off. The rest of these we could kind of motor through. LeVar Burton was awesome, and
the best part about LeVar Burton was he knew how to deal with the children. Like, the first two questions were both from kids who asked essentially the same question, and he was able to give thoughtful answers that sounded different but were essentially the same. But he very much welcomed the children and was more excited for them to ask than, of course, because of his reading rainbow side, he was more excited to see the children than the adults asking, "What was the difficult to see with the visor?"
Yeah.
Well, the one thing that he said in his panel that really impressed me was that, you know, Jordy LaForge, that was a character. Reading Rainbow, that was him.
That was me.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And I loved that at the end he said, you know, don't take my word for it. Like, I literally turned to Lee and I was like, he needs to say it. And then he said it and I was like, he said it. And I just started cheering. It was awesome. I love that stuff. I love fan service, stuff like that. Anyway, okay. So next we will talk about Jason Isaacs. Too bad we don't have Amy here with us, because this was her most
involved.
Yeah. Like, she, so we've had Amy on the podcast before, and she, you know, she hangs out with us at FanX, and we said, "Hey, Amy, you should go ask a question." And she's like, "I don't know. I'm too scared. I'm too nervous," you know? And we said, "No, you should just do that. You know, just go up and do it."
I think you should explain that Amy, her favorite fandom is Harry Potter, and that Jason Isaacs is Lucius Malfoy. So
anytime we need to talk about Harry Potter, I talk to Amy Champion, because she's awesome at Harry Potter and many other things. But so she's had this question that she wants to ask every single celebrity. She says, "This is the question that I would ask anyone, regardless of if they're in Harry Potter or not. And that is, if you could make a Horcrux, what would it be? And what would you use to make your Horcrux?" And she finally got to ask her question. And we were a little worried about it. We were a little worried because Jason Isaacs, when he first started his panel, he just talked for like 40 minutes. Like, he just started talking about tons of stuff.
And what he was talking about was, let's get these questions out of the way. Don't ask me what Daniel Radcliffe was like. Don't ask me what this person was like. Here's how I made the character of Lucius. You know, he went through the, "I've been asked these questions 1,000 times. Let's just get these out of the way first. Yeah.
Yeah. And they were very
hilarious. Yeah. The stories were amazing.
It was really awesome. Like, he talked about how he came up with the idea of the sword wand cane. Like, the cane that was inside of the, the wand that was inside the cane.
Uh-huh.
Like, he came up with that idea and he, like, pitched it to the director, and the director's like, "Man, the toy guys are going to love you." Like, you know, and then originally they wanted him in a suit, like in a business suit. And he was like, "No, this guy's a wizard. Like, why would I be wearing a pinstriped gangster suit, like business suit?"
He's a wizard who hates muggles. Why would he be dressing like one?
He really, like, you know, had a lot of input on his character. And then they were going to, like, slick his hair back and was going to be black or something, and he was like, "No, that's stupid." And he's like, "I want to have like long hair or something." And then they had this like $5 wig in the costume shop, and so he just put that on and like put a cloak on and went to the director, and he's like, "Hey, how do I look?" And he's like, "That's good. That's fine. Go for it." You know, like,
"Yeah, we can work with that.
We can work with that." And so, like, he had a lot of creative control of that. And that actually made me really happy. Like that was, I thought that was kind of awesome. And he told a really funny story of when he was working with, can't remember the actor's name, but the first Dumbledore. And like how he was trying to like do this scene, and it was the very first scene that they did on set. And so he was trying to find his character and trying to figure out what was going on, and he had Dobby with him, but Dobby is CG, and so, you know, Dumbledore saying, "That's all, you know, that's all, Lucius, you may go now." And so then he like pretended to slap Dobby and kick him down the stairs, and the director went, "Cut, cut, cut, what were you doing?" And he was like, "I was
just slapping Dobby, you know, and he's like, what? What the heck? And he's like, what was the foot thing? And he's like, well, I kicked him down the stairs. And then like the seat, they're like, okay, that works. And then, you know, all the CG guys are like writing down notes on what he's doing so that they can actually put it in the movie. Like, you know, like cool stories. So he had really awesome stories. And Amy got to ask her question. The answer to that question was that he is an Apple-phile. He's a self-proclaimed Macintosh Apple-phile, he said. And so he would probably do an Apple Watch because that's all it would be good for in like 6 months.
There's a jab at wearable technology right there.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, he just, it was a good one. It was really entertaining. And his panel was very full. So that was another one that was, maybe not as full as it was pretty full.
You guys showed up about halfway through it and you're able to get in no problem. So
yeah. And we sat next to you. Yeah. You were about halfway, but yeah, on the side. So
I didn't really try to get good seats for that. I don't even know why I really stayed for it, but I'm glad I did. It was very funny. It was more entertaining than I anticipated.
So the one that one panel that I did get to sneak into that was very full was the George Takei panel. And so that one was very full. And I went into that one. I got there a few minutes late, but because I was a volunteer manager that had some extra perks, so to say, I was able to go sneak up into the reserved seats. And so I sit down in these reserved seats in the George Takei one, and this guy turns around and starts talking to me like, hey, I don't know how to do that thing with my hand. And I'm like, I'm here to listen to George Takei. I am not here to listen to you. And so I got up and left, and I moved over to the other side of the reserved seats.
Oh, wow.
Like, I made it look like I got up and left and walked away, but then I went on the other side. But then I was like, you know, no, George Takei is kind of a personal hero of mine. And I mentioned about this on the panels that we're most excited for episode that we did. And so I'm like, I'm going to go up there and ask him about why it's important to maintain your culture and your heritage, because he'll be able to talk on that. But that was like halfway through the panel that I decided to do that. So I get in line, and he's a talker. George Takei is a talker. And so they realized, you know, we're not getting through all of these questions. And one of the questions spurred our Boy Wonder trivia this week, which hashtag did he get trending? But so Chris Provost, the MC, the guy who has all of the terrible puns at when you're waiting for the Comic-Con to start, he comes up to us and says, hey guys, there's no way we're going to get through all of your questions. How about you all go sit down here, and then when we take the stage photo, you guys will be in the front row and you'll be in the stage photo. So if you can find the stage photo for George Takei's panel, and I'll try to get it in the show notes. If you look in the right, look real close, zoom in, there's a big blue blur, and that's me. That is me.
So I'm going to go look at it now.
Yeah. So it was really cool. I loved how he talked about how the Star Trek, The Undiscovered Country, should have been called a Captain Sulu story.
I loved when he answered the question, where did your catchphrase come from? Because I did not know that story, and that was awesome story.
Yeah, yeah, that one was Howard Stern. So for anyone who's wondering, he was on the Howard Stern show promoting something, and he had no idea who Howard Stern was. And so he was telling the story how he was out on the out in the foyer, and he's like, this is terrible. Can't we just find some good music or something to turn on? And somebody was like, that's the show you're going on next. And you know the stories about Howard Stern. He always says inappropriate things that shock people. And, you know, so George Takei was like, you know, we all say, oh my, you know, you might see a beautiful person, you'll say, oh my, you might see a sunset and you'll say, oh my. And it's usually for times where you don't have the appropriate words to express your emotions. And so then, you know, Howard Stern made a comment about part of his anatomy, and George Takei, this reserved Japanese man, had no idea how to respond to that. And so he said, oh my.
Oh my.
And then Howard Stern now uses that as a soundboard clip, because that's really the first time. And so people picked up on that and people loved it. So yeah, that was
In fact, Comic-Con even recorded him saying it, and now they have that soundbite as well.
Oh, that's funny.
They played it after one of the jokes, because I really like the addition of the crickets and stuff to the jokes. That's
yeah. So I don't know if you knew that actually. So Chris, I can't remember his last name, but the announcer guy, when he gives bad jokes, now sometimes they'll like turn off the lights and put crickets or go wah wah wah, like do sounds and stuff to kind of like make fun of him, which
it's become his trademark.
Cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Okay, so we've only got a few more to go as far as panels. Kate Beckinsale, who is one of my favorite actresses, she was awesome. Like, I was a little worried that she'd be kind of dry and like unengaging, but she was really, really funny. And there was actually a lot of inappropriateness in that one too.
I wonder why.
She actually cursed a few people with UTIs during the
panel, which was pretty funny. And then the moderator was like, oh, I feel like I'm like you're Oprah or something. It's like, you get a UTI, you get a UTI, everyone gets UTIs. It was pretty funny. But yeah, she was awesome. And then that was pretty much all of mine that I went to. Jeff got to go to the Twisted Tunes. I wasn't able to go.
While you guys were off getting your thousands and thousands of free photo ops, I was in the Grand Ballroom listening to Twisted Tunes mockingly do Star Wars Episode 7, which was hilarious. The very first scene, they had Jess Arnell do Christopher Walken as BB-8 and Goofy as Kylo Ren, and it was so loud with laughter. It is hilarious. Just hearing Jess Arnell going beep, boop, bippity, and it's hilarious.
That's awesome.
Just for that first scene alone, it was worth it. I'm glad I went.
And Twisted Tunes always puts their stuff on YouTube, so I'm going to go watch this one.
Oh, absolutely. You have to watch it.
Yeah. I was sad that I missed it.
I was really expecting them to do another Harry Potter, because, you know, the last two times they did Harry Potter 1 and then 2. When they said Star Wars, I immediately got on the group text saying, they're doing Star Wars! They're doing Star Wars! And yep. even Jason Isaacs showed up for a scene, and did his Ian McKellen. And Sean Connery impressions as when he was reading for Finn. It was pretty funny, and they're smart and make it an hour and a half long instead of the standard hour. Any time you can go to Twisted Tunes, take it, unless of course your friends are off getting free photo ops. I'm a little bitter about that, can you tell? Not really. Yeah, it's a blast.
Hey, they weren't free.
Did you pay for them?
One of them was free.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
The other one wasn't, but I got to be in it.
So,
all right.
Well, they were free to you. That's what I mean. But absolutely, if you have a chance, Twisted Tune this year had Tom Kenny, Jess Arnell, Grey D'Eliza, and I've all of a sudden forgot his name, Bill Farmer. And Bill Farmer is one of the classic Disney guys. So he was.
Can I tell you, he does not look like his voices. Like, some of the people look like their voices. Like, Tom Kenny looks like SpongeBob.
Yeah.
But Bill Farmer, that big monster of a man, sounds like that. So.
Yeah. But yeah, and he also at one point he has a really good Trump impression, and it was great. He was the only one who kind of called Jess Arnell out on his Christopher Walken, because his Walken takes forever, and so Bill Farmer was like, all right, yeah, you'll get there, yeah, you're going, okay, there it is. Twisted Tunes is awesome. Watch it if they post it on YouTube, we'll share it, and you have to watch it, please do.
Okay, so since we're talking about photo ops, since you know, Twisted Tunes happened at the same time as some of the photo ops, I learned something really cool this year, and this is asked by aspect of me volunteering. Volunteers, because you have to get back to work, get ushered to the front of the line for your photo ops. And, you know, it was really cool when I found this out, because I was able to get a free photo op and texted some friends and be like, hey, come get some free photo op, get a free photo op with me. And they saw how quickly I got through the line. Anyway, whose photo op was going on while you were at Twisted Tunes?
That was after I left Twisted Tunes and met up with everyone for just food. You guys had the Jeremy Renner and Matt Smith already done.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah. Well, you guys, they showed me the Jeremy Renner and Matt Smith photos, and I was like, well, I knew the Matt Smith was, I wasn't going to get into that one. I had accepted that. That's why I went to Twisted Tunes. Jeremy Renner just came out of nowhere.
Yeah. No, that one really did. Okay. So let me tell you the story about Jeremy Renner, because that one, I was doing my job, and that's all I was doing. I was doing my job, trying to make sure that, you know, the Wi-Fi and printers were working, because back in Celebrity Row, they're constantly printing stuff and schedules are getting changed, and they went through a ton of paper. And so every about hour or so, I'd try to walk back there, which that was cool, walking past the green room and seeing the celebrities behind the curtain and stuff like that. Just check on, but I was checking on the tech stuff, of course.
Of course.
But they were really happy, because I guess they've had some issues in the past with their printing and their technology. The lady in charge says to me, do you like Jeremy Renner? And I was like, is there a, like,
I don't not like Jeremy Renner.
It's like, he's an Avenger. Like, how can you say no, I don't? I mean, so I was like, yeah, I like Jeremy Renner. And she's like, okay, what's your email address? And so I told her, and she's like, okay, I just sent you a photo op. I'm like, can Thanks. I... can I call friends or is this something that I just need to do on my own? She's like, oh no, you can call some friends over. That's fine. So I sent Nick a text. I'm like, hey, tell everyone, get over to the photo ops. I've got a Jeremy Renner and run. And so Nick shows up and I actually met him partway through because there's no way we were getting through the lines because tons of people were getting photo ops yesterday. So no way we were getting through the lines. So I said, come with me. We ran around like kind of a secret passage in the Salt Palace.
Back way. It was awesome.
Yeah. So
I got to go behind the scenes.
Yeah. So I took people behind the scenes so they could go see Jeremy Renner and we're there. And then all of a sudden my QR code never shows up. And so, so I was like, okay. And so we wait there for a few minutes and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go over to the photo op. So I went to the photo op sales desk and I'm like, hey, this just happened. And I had some issues with it. I think maybe my name got misspelled because my email address is my name and it's very easy to misspell both of my names. And so the guy looked it up. Oh, sure enough. Yep. There's the misspelling here. Let me fix that for you. So we fixed it. QR code came right down. I ran back around and you know, we got the Jeremy Renner photo op. It did not help that Jeremy Renner took an unannounced like 30-minute break between signing autographs and having his photo op. And so like we're there and we're like just cut in front of people. And at one point I heard someone say, hey, what's with all the cuts?
Oh no.
Yeah, and there was one lady that was like really mad. Like she came up and she was all like, we've been waiting forever and blah, blah, blah. And it was like, okay, we know that waiting in line sucks. And we know that it's frustrating to have to wait in line for a really long time. But you going up and yelling at a volunteer to scan QR codes quicker is not going to make it happen faster.
Like when the person's not even there.
Yeah. Yeah. Like exactly. It was just like, ugh.
Well, so I mean, here's one of the things. So I, with this volunteer position and this IT team manager, it was a volunteer position. I got paid zero for it. And I had
paid in two photo ops.
Pretty much. They took care of me. I'm not going to complain at all because they took care of me. But I took, Monday nights, every Monday night was a manager's meeting where we talked about, you know, what we needed to get done. And then I had a couple walkthroughs on the Salt, or a walkthrough on the Salt Palace. And then I was there Tuesday before any of the staff was there, late Tuesday night to get stuff set up on the network. And then I was there all day Wednesday, and then all day Thursday, all day Friday, all day Saturday. So it was easily over 80 hours of work that I put into this. And this was the way that they were, you know, making it worth my time. They were taking care of me on the photo ops. Now, I have never done photo ops before, partly because of the line, and partly because I'm not huge into hero worship for these celebrities. I like them. I think they're cool, but I'm not going to pay the $100-something for a Jeremy Renner photo op. Because, you know, I appreciate his work and I like what he's done, but I've got more important things that I could spend that on. My wife and kids remind me of that all the time. So I don't buy the photo ops. And so I got this one and they Salt Lake Comic Con was taking care of its volunteers and that's what it does. And so I took advantage of it because I was like, I've put this work into it and so I'm going to take advantage of it. But I can also see why people were upset about that. But we got the Jeremy Renner and we were concerned about Matt Smith because Matt Smith photo op was just shortly after that and Jeremy Renner was backed up. So we were able to get both of those back to back essentially. Jeremy Renner was a lot oranger than I thought he would be. But
he was really tan.
Yeah.
He was really, really tan. He was super nice.
Yeah, he was.
His panel was kind of not as good. I forgot to talk about that one. He you could tell that he had not done a lot of con. And he actually admitted to that. Like at the beginning, he said, I really haven't done a lot of cons and panels. But he just so happened to be working in Park City and that's why they were able to get him come down, which is, you know, good job. You know, good job on knowing people's schedules, you know, working it out. But you could kind of tell that he did not know the token format answers that you should tell fanboys that are freaking out about stuff. You know, like when they ask about, you know, whatever, you know, like, I mean, you could just kind of see that he was being brutally honest instead of honest with flair. You see what I'm what I'm kind of saying?
Sit in on some Alan Tudyk panels and Sylvester McCoy panels, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. And so like, it was really interesting, you know, and he was talking about, well, you know, as Hawkeye, I never grew up on comics or anything, but when somebody asks you to be Hawkeye, you say yes. You know, I mean, instead of like, you know, even if you are not that way, you don't kind of admit that to all the nerds, you know, that are like sitting here like chomping at the bit because you're one of their heroes. But one of the things that was interesting that he talked about was that they asked about archery, but I think the best thing was when they said, so how did you feel about Scarlet Witch and Hulk having a love affair?
Black Widow.
Black Widow. Sorry.
Because it's Scarlett Johansson and Scarlet Witch. Wow. I said that so many times. Don't worry.
So, yeah.
what did you think about that? And he's like, I have to be honest with you, that was kind of weird. Like, you know, and I was just like, all right, that was the best answer you've given. He's like, yeah, kind of came out of nowhere. And it was like, yep, every single nerd felt exactly the same way. So that was good. Anyway, but yeah, he was super cool. Like, one of the things I liked about him is that he was really nice. Like, even though you were walking in and just like taking a photo with him, he was, you know, he was approachable. It wasn't just like you walk in, click, leave. You know, like, he was like, hey guys, thanks for coming, this is awesome, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that every single one of the photo ops that we got this time were that way. Like, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
I didn't have
super, super nice.
I didn't have a single jerk celebrity, which makes me think that all of them are great, which is going to devastate me when they're not. But yeah, but he was cool. Matt Smith was awesome. Sorry to rub it in your face, Jeff.
No, it's fine.
And this one was kind of funny because we had already taken, like, I think at this point there had been three that we had taken, maybe two. No, it was three because Matt Smith was the last one that we did.
Yeah.
And this was Amy Champions. She had gotten this photo op for her birthday from her cousin or friend, I don't know, but it was a gift. And so she had said, you know, okay, you know, these are the people that I want to be in the photo op with.
And then I completely barged in because I'm like, hey, yeah, you know that big line there, if you bring me with you, yep, I get to be in a picture with Matt Smith and you don't have to wait in a super huge line. The little quid pro quo going on.
Which is funny because that's the exact argument I took to her. But then you're all like, yeah, but I can do it better than that. So
sorry.
She's like, hey, you could go VIP. And I was like, well, you still got to wait for an hour in VIP line. But yeah, that's really funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we were, you know, up until this point, we had just stood there and took a picture. And so we were like, Amy, we could do something so cool. Like, let's figure out something cool to do. Like, we went in with the plan, like we've been talking about. We're like, okay, we need to have a plan. And so we were talking about it. And then Amy finally decided, because it was her photo op, she got to do what she wanted, that she wanted to do the drunk draft. And we were like, okay, let's do it. And so we got right up there and she said, hey, Matt, can we do the drunk draft? And he was like, absolutely. And then he just threw his hands up and we all did it. And it was really fun.
The
it
photographer
was really cool.
Took the picture like half a second before my arms were all the way up, though. So it looks like I'm like jumping out of the photo op or something, though, because my arms are not straight up in the air.
Well, and if your arms would have been straight up in the air, they would have been out of the frame.
That's true. Did you notice that even with Amy with her arms all the way up, her hands still did not go above my head? Anybody listening to this, I will get all the photo ops that I have access to and post them on our Facebook page, because yeah, this was a lot of fun. And I think Nick, I think your drunk giraffe rivals Matt Smith's. And anyone who's like, what in the world is it, a drunk giraffe? Think about Amy and Rory's wedding and the way that the doctor danced. That's what the drunk giraffe was. So
there was only one other photo op that we did, and I'll let you talk about it, Brandon.
Okay, so this one, I once again, I was helping somebody with their IT problems, and it was like a, you know, this needs to be printed now or else we are in trouble. And so I, you know, connected them to the printer. It worked just fine. Just, you know, it was like four clicks because I had done the back work to get it all set up, so it was quick and easy.
Done your due diligence,
and so yeah, she was like, "I need
IT
this to work."
Should.
And so I made it work. And afterwards, she was like, "Thank you so much. Do you like photo ops?" And I'm like, "So this was the first time, but you know, I'm starting. It's like, how do you do people say no to that?" And so I was like, "Yes, I like photo ops." And she's like, "Okay, tell me who you want a photo op with." And you know, the Buzz Aldrin photo op had already passed, so I'm like, "Okay, so I probably would have done Buzz Aldrin first." But Buzz Aldrin had passed, so I said, "Can I get a George Takei photo op?" And she's like, I think so. Let me check. And so she goes and she checks and she gets it. And she's like, yeah, here you go. And so she sends it off to me. It's awesome. Super nice of her. She didn't have to do it. I didn't ask her for it. You know, neither of these photo ops I asked for. And so then she said, I'm over there and you guys are in line for
Jason Isaacs.
Jason Isaacs photo op. And I'm like, hey, you guys, why don't you come with me to George Takei? And you were like, well, we got this Jason Isaacs and we don't know if we can make that and this one. And so I said, well, just come with me. And so we just went back there and you guys got your Jason Isaacs. And then you came out and then we went and got into the George Takei line. And I want to say I was the first George Takei photo op.
You were. Yeah. You were the very first one.
After
Brian Brandenburg. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So
with his wife,
I'm assuming. Yes, that was his wife.
I'm hoping.
dressed to the nines and just like,
she is always stunning.
You think he just walks around Comic-Con and goes up to random people and goes, you're welcome. You're welcome.
As he should. So, I mean,
yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, he deserves all of his success and everything he does. He's worked hard, which is awesome.
So, you know, I was stressing about George Takei. I was like, I kind of want to do something fun and have a fun photo op, but it's George Takei and he's respectable and dignified. And yeah, he's funny and great, but I don't want to ask him to do something undignified. And so I was thinking maybe we do all the Spock hand and live long and prosper. And I got up there and I was just so starstruck that I was like, this is George Takei, is my very first photo op ever, that I just kind of, blah, blah. You know, he shook all of our hands and looked in our eyes and said, it's nice to meet you. Thanks for coming. And, you know, so we got our photo op taken and I walked out and I was like, I forgot to ask him to do anything. So, but I was happy. I was happy. I enjoyed it. He's a personal hero. So, and then later I got to go do I got to go get an autograph from him, and I just, you know, it was at his table, but I got an autograph from him, and the line was low and empty. And so, and honestly, I planned it that way. If he had had a lot of people in his line, I wouldn't have gone because I wanted a chance to talk to this guy. And, you know, his husband Brad was there, and I talked with him for a minute while he was handling a couple people in front of me.
I didn't know Brad was there. I'm sad. I would have went and talked to him.
Yeah, he was there, and, you know, so I got, you know, I started talking to him, and I was looking at the photos that he had to sign, and I said, well, do you have any from Allegiance, which is his Broadway play? And he's like, no, we're trying to work on some rights for the photos and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll get this one. So I just got a headshot of him, and he, you know, so Brad's talking, he's like, so are you Japanese? And I was like, yeah, I am a Japanese, and that the Broadway play that you're doing is very important to me, and thank you very much for that. And he's like, well, you know, George will be glad to hear that. I was like, actually, the Salt Palace is built on top of the old Japantown in Salt Lake. And so we talked about that. And so Brad and I are talking about this, and he's like, oh, and, you know, I mentioned that I do the Japanese festival, and he's like, do you know so-and-so? And I was like, well, yeah, I do. I've known him my entire life. And he's like, oh, well, we're really good friends with him. And so it turns out George and I have mutual friends. So I'm important like that, you know, or maybe all Japanese people know each other. One of the two. So we talked, and after the people in front of me left, there was nobody behind me, and Brad walks me over to go talk to George, and he's like, this is Brandon Ushio, and, you know, he knows so-and-so, and he's involved in the Japanese community here. And, you know, George, his eyes light up, and from what I've heard from other people, his eyes lit up for everybody. He honestly cared about what everybody had to say. He was just a nice, genuine guy, which I thought was awesome. But then, you know, he was a great guy. And so we talked, and this is something I haven't told anyone yet, or haven't told the public yet. And I don't know if it will come to fruition, so I'm not going to advertise it much outside of this podcast. But, you know, while I was talking with George and telling him about the Japanese festival, he says to me, that sounds really interesting. And, you know, I do not do my own schedule anymore. I have people that do that, so I never know where I'm going to be. But if I have nothing going on April 30th, I will come back and I will come to your festival.
Cool.
And so, if he's not scheduled to be somewhere, if he doesn't have another meeting, he told me that he would come to the Japanese festival. And he said, oh, just so-and-so has my contact information, have him get a hold of me. And so, yeah, I'm going to check out here very quickly to see if George Takei can come to the Japanese festival. And that would be really cool, because he said he would do it for free, which I know he's not a cheap guest to get. All these Comic-Cons, the way they get their celebrities is by guarantees. They say, you will make this much money from photo ops and autographs, and if you don't, we'll cover the difference. So, he told us he'd come for free because, you know, he feels it's very important for the Japanese culture and traditions to continue on. And he even said that he is working on getting Allegiance to come to Salt Lake. So, I'm excited. That interaction right there, that 15-minute conversation with him and getting to know him a little bit and him being so caring about the things that I was interested in, that was probably the highlight of my entire convention right there. Just, it was awesome to just talk with him. And he's, you know, I'm not going to delude myself into saying that I'm somebody special and that he's going to remember me tomorrow, but he'll probably remember the Japanese festival and stuff like that. And so, because that's an issue that's dear to his heart.
If he shows up at the Japanese festival and you say, hey, I was the guy at Comic-Con, he might recognize you.
Yeah, he'll probably remember me at that point.
Yeah. Like, I don't expect him to be, oh, I wonder what Brandon's up to right now.
But exactly.
If you see him simultaneously.
Exactly. So that, yeah, you know, within that connection. So that was my George Takei experience. I got one more photo op that you guys didn't get. I didn't even know about this one. Yeah. So this one, it was another example of the celebrities being awesome. So my IT team, they were they were awesome this weekend. We got, you know, we made sure things worked and the people were responsive. The reason why I didn't call up Jared to be with me with George Decay and Jeremy Renner was, well, first off, Jared said, I think Jared's family was there during part of it, and so I couldn't get them all in, but then, or one of those, and then the other one, he was working and I was extremely nervous about what he was working on, and so I wanted to make sure that happened. So I should have brought him in, and for sure next time I'll bring him on some more. The IT team was awesome, and the same people who gave me the Jeremy Renner one said, you know what, let's get him for the rest of your team. And so, but this was late on Saturday, and so there weren't a whole ton of options left. And Jared was debating between LeVar Burton and the Arrow combo op. And part of the reason why he wanted to do the Arrow combo op is because, you know, we had no idea who it was, but who was in it. But at some point, they were saying that they were trying to get Summer Glau and Alex Kingston, Paul Blackthorne, and Charlotte Ross in there. So, you know, Captain Lance, his ex-wife, and his new girlfriend, and then Summer Glau. But when we thought, well, there's a chance that we'll have those four in there, so let's give that a shot. And so we show up, and I'm like, Jared, do you want to go by yourself, or can I join along? And he's like, well, you can join along. That's just fine. And, you know, Jared had had some pictures with some cosplayers earlier that gave his wife some concern. So,
oh, jeez.
So he sent
those my way.
So
do not send Nick cosplay photos.
it wasn't anything super inappropriate. It was just his wife was like, how come you were so close? So I was like, well, there's going to be women in there. Maybe I should go with you just to make your wife happy, you know? And so I went with him. And it ended up being just Paul Blackthorne and Charlotte Ross, who plays Felicity's mother in Arrow, and Captain Lance. And so we walk in, and I'm like, Jared, I better stand next to Charlotte Ross. Your wife would probably not be thrilled. And he's like, yeah, you're right. And so
that's funny.
We walk in, and Paul Blackthorne, you know, shakes his hand, and Charlotte Ross says to me, you can tell that she knows how to milk a geek. I walk up, and she's like, hello, handsome. And I'm like, oh whatever. But I'm like,
all of a sudden, maybe I should stand next to Paul.
And so I walk up, and she's like, come here. And so she puts her arm around me, and Jared stands next to him, and she's like rubbing my back during the photo op. I'm like, ouch. Probably is a good thing Jared wasn't over here. And so we're walking out. I'm like, Jared, it's a good thing you weren't here, because I walked up and she was like, hello, handsome. And then she starts rubbing my back, and I reached out and I started rubbing his back the way that she rubbed mine. and he like jumped away and was like, dude. And I was like, that's right. Next time somebody rubs your back, you're going to think about me and Charlotte Ross at the same time.
Wow.
So it was a blast. Funny. They were super nice people. I've never done photo ops, but it was awesome. And, you know, I love Paul Blackthorne for his role as Harry Dresden in the short-lived TV series of that. So yeah, that was a photo op that I didn't get you guys involved in, but it was,
that's fine,
because it wasn't my photo op. But yeah,
well,
it was,
there you go.
It was a blast. So I've rambled on like a gushing fangirl for long enough. Do you guys have some more celebrity experiences?
Well, I've been talking about a poster for a very long time, for about 2 years now.
And it's a very nice poster.
It is. Brandon got to see it. And finally, LeVar Burton came to Salt Lake City. And I was able to get now I have the entire bridge crew, I should say, not the entire cast, but the entire bridge crew of Star Trek First Contact on a single poster. And as soon as I get it reframed and on my wall, I'll send a picture, but I am so happy it's finally done. Like, I can have it framed for, well, at least until Salt Lake Comic Con comes around again in September if someone else comes, but I can find, it's just so nice to be able to say it's everyone, not just I'm missing one. It's I'm so happy. It's my retirement fund, essentially, is what that poster is going to be.
You hope.
But also, yeah, I hope. I hope it's still worth
it. Have you ever counted how much you spent for each?
Maybe. I've done it. And it's just shy of $300. And so,
yeah,
but yeah, it's expensive.
Each of those signatures was more than $30 to $40.
I'll let listeners do the math. I got just every Star Trek person who's come so far. I'm not going to do that counting, but every signature was $40 except Patrick Stewart's, which was $80. So I'm going to let you guys do the math, and you let me know how much money I wasted on someone writing down their name. I joked with a friend I ran into, like, I just can't justify spending $40 on a toy, but then I realized, oh, here, person, write your name down. So yeah, but on top of that, I also, there's a documentary called I Know That Voice, and it's on Netflix right now.
I believe, if you can take a look at it. It's a really good one. I found a poster for it on eBay, and I have just been, as voice actors have been coming, getting more and more signatures on there. And this year I was able to add Tom Kenny, who is SpongeBob, Gray Dial. I can never pronounce her name right, but she plays Daphne and Catwoman and Vicky from Fairly Odd Parents and all that. And Bill Farmer, who is one of the Disney classics. He was most notably Goofy, and we mentioned him earlier in the Twisted Tunes. I was able to add all of them to the poster. And what's interesting is both Tom Kenny and Gray had not seen a poster for I Know That Voice yet. And they were both like, oh, I didn't even know they made these. So if you have an I Know That Voice poster, you know, you're rare. It's apparently a lot more rare than I thought. It might be more rare than the signature. But yeah, that's how I spent my money on asking people to please write their name down.
Yeah. The only other things that I got is I got a signed drawing from Bob McLeod. He was the artist that we were talking about last week. And he was nice, but he wasn't very engaging. You could tell that he was an artist and wasn't a showman. So, you know, I walked up and I got a picture of Robin, you know, who would have thought. And it's, I prefer the ones that are not colored. If I can get one that's pencils only, that's what I always like to get. But yeah, so it's a really cool picture of him. And, you know, I walked up and I said, I'm a big fan, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, oh, thanks. And that was like about it. But he was super cool and he was super nice. And then actually because of Comic-Con, like on Facebook, after the second day, somebody posted something and I was like, really? That's there? I want that. And she actually posted a picture of a drawing, like a hand drawing of Donald Duck. And she was saying, this is like the steal of the con. And for $30, the original Walt Disney animator and voice of Donald Duck, Tony Anselmo, I think his name is, he would draw a picture of Donald Duck for you and sign it. And I was like, I absolutely want that. Like, that is, you know, the treasure of the con. And so right at the end of the con, there wasn't a lot of people there. And that was the one thing that I was like, I got to go and find this guy and get this signature. And so, yeah, he did a hand sketch of Donald Duck and he signed it. And, you know, I talked to him about how I'm an artist and he was like, oh, what kind of art do you do? And I said, well, I do oil paintings. And he's like, you don't do it on the computer? And I said, no, sometimes I do, but most of the time I actually do physical art. And he was like, wow, that's really cool. That's like a lost art. And I was like, well, maybe not lost, but maybe in Hollywood it is. I don't know. You know, but he's like, yeah, that's really cool. And he's like, do you have any, you know, examples of your paintings? And I said, well, sure. And I pulled up some stuff on my phone and he said, oh yeah, that's really cool. He was really interested in my landscapes for some reason. He was like, oh, show me some landscapes, which is like the stuff that I don't really do a lot of, but I told him that I do plein air stuff. And he's like, oh, that's really cool. Yeah, that's fun. You know, and he was really interested. And then, you know, once he also commented on how he was really mad that Joey Fatone was having a dance party because he couldn't focus anymore. Like, he was like, it's really hard for me to draw right now because they've been having this dance party for 2 hours or, you know, for an hour or whatever, and the music's really loud and it's hard for me to like concentrate. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of interesting. And so,
okay, so I gotta tell you the story about that dance party though. So Joey Fatone, his booth was kind of empty, like all the fangirls had come to see him already. And so I personally think he didn't say this, but I personally think he was trying to drum up attention for his booth so that people would ask for his autograph and stuff like that. And he tweeted out that he needed a DJ, and one responded and brought his stuff down to the Salt Palace and and wow, started just DJing at his booth. And so, and it brought a lot of people over there.
That's ridiculous. So, I mean, I'm sure it was a blast for the people who went there, but it doesn't seem like Comic-Con's the place to want to have a dance party.
Oh, it was a blast. People were over there having a blast. I can understand why it would be distracting for art and stuff like that, but people were having a blast.
Yeah, and there was a lot of people. Like, that was kind of one of the hot button issues or topics, like, after con that I noticed, because the only reason that I even, like, had an opinion about it was because Tony had said something, right? And so I was like, I wonder, you know, what kind of the vibe was. And there was a lot of people that were like, oh my gosh, this was the funnest thing. I got to dance with, you know, Joey Fatone and got to hang out. And that was just like the best part of the con. And then there was other people that were like, I couldn't even talk to this person that I was getting an autograph on because the music was so loud and I'm so mad, you know? And so, you know, I guess it, you know, just depends on if you like him or not. But yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So we had a blast this FanX. We met a lot of celebrities. celebrities. We had, I think, probably more than I've ever met before. You know, I've gone to their panels, but like I had one-on-one interaction with celebrities. Never done that before. I revised my statement. The best way to have one-on-one interaction with celebrities is not a VIP pass. Sorry, Jeff. It is volunteering. So it was a blast. I
fart in your general direction.
You got to say it with a French accent.
I didn't even know if I'd actually say it. Yeah. Anyway.
So now I'm not saying I didn't work for those perks though. Just this weekend alone, I clocked in 46 miles walking. So yeah, it was,
bravo.
Yeah, I was about dead on Sunday, but you know, I still had Easter family stuff and my kids hadn't seen me. So I had to play with them. I got to play with them. Ah. I wasn't a have to.
Kids, geez.
And then,
I don't understand you people with your children.
So, okay. Well, you know what? We had a blast. You guys have any other thoughts that you want to share before we wrap this show up?
If you have never gone to Comic-Con or you've never gone to FanAct and you're thinking about doing it, I would recommend you at least do it once in your life, because there's not many things that are like it, especially if you are a geek. There's so many like-minded people around and you will always be able to talk to somebody or find somebody that likes the same things you do, likes the same fandom, you know, and it's just fun to kind of be around people that are as excited about stuff as you are. You know, I mean, getting a signed poster and having this goal of doing that, or, you know, talking to Jason Isaacs and asking him what kind of Horcrux he would be, you know, I mean, just, you know, being around people that are excited and fun, it really is refreshing, and it energizes me and makes me, you know, proud of who I am and what I like. And so I would recommend it to anybody, if you haven't done it, and at least experience it once. So
here, here, that's, yeah, I couldn't have said that better myself.
At the very least, if you're nervous about it, get a single day pass. And if after one day you'll know after an hour in the floor, if Comic-Con is for you, and it's, give it a shot, you know?
Okay. So here's the deal that I will give to listeners. And, you may have to remind me come September time for this, because I don't remember things super great, but if you remind me, I'll try to do my absolute best for this. If you are in Salt Lake or want to come to Salt Lake for a single day, hit me up over at feedback@fandompodcast.com for September. And as long as my wife allows me to volunteer again, because like I said, I was gone a lot of hours and this is not something that she really enjoys. But as long as my wife allows me to volunteer again, I will give you a day pass to Comic-Con. You just have to tell me that you want to come and I would love to meet you. I'd love to give you a pass. I'd love to give away one of my passes that I get for volunteering. So yeah, hit me up, feedback@fandompodcast.com. If you hit me up now, we can plan it. And obviously I only get a few of them, so first come, first serve, but hit me up. I'd love to give you a day pass. Yeah.
Hey Brandon, I'd like to go to Comic-Con in September. You want to, I'm totally kidding.
No. Employees and family members of the hosts of the Fandom Podcast may not enter. Is that how the rules go?
Close enough.
Are exempt.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yes.
Anyway. Okay.
People most likely not to buy their own passes.
Well, I do have to say one thing about that, though. I won a contest on the Fandom Podcast, and then after I won the contest, I became a host of the show.
That's true. So. That's true. The first time that, you know, so I've known Nick for a while, but he entered into a contest for tickets to Chris Hardwick, and he won. And he and Jeff showed up, and look who's on the podcast now. So
I think it's funny that it's been how many episodes and we're just now explaining where I came from. Like, I just kind of showed up one day. We never once said
that's true.
We
never, okay, guys. So if you want to know the back, this is our backstory issue.
we never really explained how Nick and I know each other. We've never really, you know, it was just all of a sudden. And here's Jeff.
Jeff is my brother-in-law.
To the astute listeners, Jeff is Nick's brother-in-law. For those who are just finding that out now, what are you doing? Like riding your bike while you're listening to the podcast? Come on, there have been hints, there have been clues.
A couple.
And then I know Brandon because my wife went to school with him.
Yes.
And
but so I'm going to say I've never talked connected. To you as much until we started hosting this podcast together. I mean, we've talked, but not to the extent that we have now. So, okay. So I think that wraps us up. I think, yeah, come to Salt Lake Comic Con in September. It will be awesome. And we're excited about it. If you have any feedback, if you had an experience at FanX or another convention, you know, this, we talked about FanX guests specifically, but I would love to know how other conventions go to. I don't con outside of Utah really, or outside to Salt Lake even. So if you guys have other conventions that you've been to and you want to tell us your experiences or what your favorite, how about this? How about you share with us your favorite celebrity experience from any con, and we will read that out on the air and we will share that with others, because I was shocked to find out how great these celebrities actually are and how nice they are for how bad of a rap celebrities usually get.
You know, all it takes is one good one, and all it takes is one bad one to set your mind on how you think of celebrities.
Exactly, exactly. So I think this is a good time to say thanks for listening to the Fandom Podcast. Hopefully we got you some backstage information about kind of what happened at FanX, and hopefully maybe we filled up that need that you had so you don't have to go out and spend that crazy amount of money on photo ops, or maybe we pushed you over the edge and now your bank account's going to be empty. But either way, let us know if you've had any experiences with celebrities and what you've thought about them. Head over to fandompodcast.com/contact and leave us a message, or head over to facebook.com/fandompodcast. And don't forget to subscribe in your favorite podcatcher. We are The Fandom Podcast in iTunes, Stitcher, Pocket Cast, Overcast, all of the big names. We got links in the show notes to it. So
5 stars would be appreciated.
5 stars. Never complain about a review. So let's keep the conversation going offline. And until next time.
You are nothing but moldy animal food trough water.
I have no idea where that came from.
I blow my nose at you.
I got nothing.
May the fandom be with you.